welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Well, hey, we are in Psalm 134. If you want to go ahead and turn there, we're going to look at it in just a minute. This is the conclusion to our Psalms of Ascent series. I think I told you a few weeks back that it goes through 135, and that was just me being terrible at counting, because it's 15 psalms, and it starts at 120, so I just don't rely on me when it comes to counting. That's all I have to say. It concludes with Psalm 134, not 135. That would be 16 psalms. That wouldn't make sense. So 134, if you're there, would you go ahead and stand? I'm going to read it out loud here. And in reverence to God's word, it's three verses, so it's not too long, but this is what the word of God says. Behold, no, I was just about to read 133. 134 says, come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. That's it. You can be seated. God bless the reading of His word. So if you remember from early on in this series, I was talking about the Psalms of Ascent as a whole and what they were historically understood to have been used for. Individuals that would sojourn or travel from one place, it could be really anywhere, no matter how far away from Jerusalem, and people would begin singing these psalms on their way to the temple as they would make their trek to worship at the temple there in Jerusalem. And we can even see from Psalm 120 all the way to 134 where we're at now, now that we've really looked at the entirety of the Psalms of Ascent, we can see the progression, can't we? If we go all the way back to Psalm 120, the first psalm that would be sung as they begin walking, said in it, in verse 5, woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. And then we see in this psalm, they're able to sing, come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. You see, he's made it. He's there in the house of the Lord, and he's telling others, come and join me where I now find myself. And so, before we start to really dissect these three verses, I think we can take something from that principle when it comes to looking at the entirety of the Psalms of Ascent from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. We can see that hardships may endure through the evening, but joy does come in the morning, right? That principle is taught as we see these 15 psalms put together collectively and then sung as people begin making their trek to Jerusalem. It starts off, so maybe you can really relate to Psalm 120, can't you? Maybe at times where you would just say, woe is me, or God, I feel so distant from you. I find myself so far away from you, sojourning, traveling, discouraged, maybe dirty, unclean. Woe is me. Just feeling so beat down. But to you or any individual that might feel that way, who could relate to Psalm 120, there is the promise of 134 as well. That you can find yourself in God's presence entirely, telling other people, come, bless the Lord with me. You can even tell the emotions behind the author of these psalms here, can't you? In 120, it's discouragement, it's downtrodden. And then in 134, it's elated and excited. You can see the difference there. And I know we oftentimes can find ourselves relating to Psalm 120 and even the tone of it. But there is promise for joy in the morning. There's promise for God's entire presence. So tonight, this specific psalm now, looking at Psalm 134, there's three verses, and this is basically the outline of it. The first two verses, as you can see highlighted there, is man's blessing upon God. Man blessing God. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's what it's talking about. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night at the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands, your holy hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. So 1 and 2 is all about man blessing God, and then verse 3 is about God blessing man. And surely you can know which one is far greater at that verb, to bless someone. We're certainly not nearly as good at blessing as God is. But yet we still have a way in which we can bless him. And we'll get into that. So let's walk through the text, okay? Man's blessing on God is what I want to start with there, verses 1 and 2. Three questions I really have, I want to pose to you. Three questions tonight, and then one observation about these two verses, okay? Three questions, one observation. The first question that I have regarding these two verses is, how can man actually bless God? I guess that's the most fundamental and basic question with these two verses. How can you and I ever fathom blessing God Almighty, who already has everything that he could ever desire? Well, it's commanded twice in the psalm. At the very beginning, bless the Lord. And then at the end of verse 2, again, bless the Lord. So we're commanded to do it. There's no question about that. What this does not mean, let's start there, right? Let's start with what does this not mean? This does not mean that we are giving God something that he doesn't already have. Right? We're not giving God something where he says, oh, Isaac, that is so kind of you. I've been wanting one of these things. I've wanted that so bad. I've wanted it for so long, and I could never get my hands on one of these. That's not what this is. You and I couldn't ever do that. Think about Sarah and I. We had a family friend who blessed us incredibly when we were getting married. We're trying to figure out, what are we going to do? I was in ministry, and Sarah was wrapping up school, so we certainly didn't have money just to go throwing around for any extravagant trips. But when we got married, we had a family friend who does a lot of flying, had a lot of mileage racked up, I guess, or something. And he just came to us with an envelope, and he said, I just bought you plane tickets to Mexico, and got you a hotel room as well, and can you just imagine my mouth just dropping, like, you're messing with me, aren't you? You're joking. But he wasn't. He paid for it entirely. And Sarah and I just had to make sure we were on time at the airport. I mean, that was what we had to do. That man just blessed us. Blessed us. Because we couldn't have had that otherwise. We wouldn't have been able to go otherwise. There's no way. Well, that is not at all what this means when it comes to us blessing God. We're not giving God something that he'd be like, wow, that is so amazing. This is incredible. My mouth has just dropped and you've really surprised me here. That is not what this is. He has all that he would ever need, as if God needed anything. He owns and has dominion over everything because he's the creator of everything. So when it says we bless God, it certainly doesn't mean that we're giving something to him that he doesn't already have. What it does mean is that we are offering up praises that he deserves. That's what this means. And I'm not just throwing that out in thin air and just coming up with whatever Isaac thinks. I really do believe Scripture would have us understand that command to bless the Lord, to understand that as offering up praises to him. If we just look at the word in Hebrew, the word to bless here is actually the same word as to kneel in reverence and in respect to an individual. It's the same word. Bless the Lord. Kneel before the Lord in reverence to him. It's the same root word. So we can really understand this is offer up praise and reverence and worship to him who deserves it. But not only the word itself, I think, shows us this, but also when we look at this word coupled with other commands of praise elsewhere in Scripture. It is commonly when man is told to bless the Lord, that oftentimes is coupled with a command to praise the Lord. And they're used interchangeably as if they're synonyms or the same thing. To praise the Lord and to bless the Lord. Let me show you here what I'm talking about. If we go to Psalm 34, verse 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He said, well, you just said you were going to bless the Lord. Yeah, I'm going to praise him. Do you see that? They go hand in hand because to bless the Lord is to praise him. I think I have another example here, possibly Psalm 115, verse 17 and 18. Look at the interchangeable use of blessing and praising. It says, the dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord. It's like, no, you just said that they don't praise the Lord. Yes, but we will bless the Lord. This time, forth, and forevermore, praise the Lord. Do you see that? So they don't praise the Lord, but we will bless the Lord. We praise the Lord. They're used interchangeably to bless the Lord. So once we go now back to Psalm 134, when it says bless the Lord, that means would we kneel before him in reverence to him and praise the Lord. So I just want to stop and encourage you. Would you bless the Lord in your life, giving him what he deserves, your praise and your adoration? That is not just lip service to him, but would we give our lives as a living sacrifice to him, to praise him? And I know you and I are imperfect at that. I am so imperfect at that. I am so flawed, so undeserving of his grace. And yet I want to, and I hope you would as well, every day strive to say, I want to bless God today. You know, I really want to just bless him. And by that I mean, I want to just praise his name with my life and my words. I want him to be blessed. I'd encourage you to make that your life's venture. It is a good venture to have for your life. Second question that I have, not only that how can man actually bless God, but secondly, who is able to bless the Lord? Who is it that is blessing the Lord here? Well, we can see it's all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. The servants of God who stood by night in the house of the Lord were the priests. So just think about descriptions of these servants, these priests who would serve in the temple of God. They made a life covenant or commitment to serving their master. They cared for and they tended to his temple so that worship to him could continue all the time. It was an around-the-clock commitment. It says they stood by night. And so you think about that, how the priests were the ones who blessed the Lord, ones who gave their life, committed to serving their master. And now we think about in the New Testament, you and I are called a priesthood. And so who blesses the Lord? His people. His people bless the Lord. What this also implies, though, is those who are not his people are not blessing his name. And that takes us back, right? Let me say, you do not bless the Lord or bring him blessing if you are not his servant. He only receives his praise from your life when you are serving him with your life. When you are serving him and you are his servant and he is your master. And he is your Lord. And when you are serving him day and night and you have made a life commitment to him, you are a part of the priesthood of saints, then you can fulfill this command to bless the Lord. But as long as you would be in opposition to him, in rebellion to his commands in your life. Don't be fooled. You are not blessing the Lord with your life because you are not praising him with your life. So who's able to bless the Lord would be his people. Those who aren't perfect, no. But those who would rely on him for salvation, who, to the best of their abilities, lay down their life and say, you are my God, and I will serve you, and I will love you. Such individuals bless the Lord. The third question I have here is, in what fashion do they bless the Lord? And it says, they lift up their hands to the holy place. Can I ask you a question? How uncomfortable is it to you lifting hands in worship? Some it makes cringe. I know of a Christian comedian who talks about this because it is kind of like an uncomfortable topic for some individuals to consider lifting hands. And others I know, they're completely opposed to it and they don't even like individuals lifting their hands. And so a Christian comedian I've heard address this uncomfortable topic, kind of breaking the ice with it, and he said, you know, people have really ran with this idea of lifting hands in worship. There's a whole bunch of ways to do it now. There's the, you know, carrying the TV, right, where you're just kind of standing here, carry the TV, or the I caught this big of a fish, you know what I'm talking about, or I caught this big, and sometimes they start to lie and they say I caught this big of a fish, right, or it's just the goalpost. And there's so many different ones. I can't even remember. There's a single-handed one where it's like, I have a question, the type of worshiping the Lord. He addresses that, and whatever fashion you would fancy, I wouldn't ever, the gathering, I would never command you to do it. I've seen individuals say, everyone across this room, lift your hands right now in this room. Lift your hands. I've heard that. I've seen that. I've been a part of that. And it personally makes me cringe because, let me tell you, coerced worship is not genuine worship. Forced worship only creates fake and heartless worshipers. And so I would never command everyone in this room, lift your hands right now, whether you want to or not, do it. But if you're wondering if it's okay for you to do, even if you've never grown up in a tradition that would have you do it, if you're wondering, is that okay? I think this text and many others teach us that it is good to do in worship if you feel so led to do it. It is good. It's a good thing to do. We see in Scripture that godly men do it. Psalm 63, verse 4 says, I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayers be counted to you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Paul even affirms it in the place of worship. If we go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, I desire that in every place. Wow, Paul, okay, what? What would you desire in every place? That men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Is it an okay thing to lift hands? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I would encourage you, don't find yourself in your mind looking at other people in a negative way just because they might lift their hands in worship, because I think Scripture would stand on their side. It's a good thing to do. But so much more than the act itself, I think what is most important is the expression that it is showing for where your heart is. It's an external expression of a heart reality. So if you are just concerned about impressing somebody that's sitting right next to you because you look so holy lifting your hands, I would just go ahead and advise you, keep your hands in your pocket. Okay? If you're just wanting to lift your hands so to show how holy thou art, keep your hands in your pocket for everyone's sake, including your own. But if you are in awe of God and amazed at his glory and his work in your life, And if you are just down in life, but we're singing on Sunday morning, "It is well with my soul," you lift those hands if you feel so pushed to do so, because that is a good thing to do in Scripture. David did it, and Paul encourages it. I was looking around on Friday night at Resound Fest, and there's a whole array of different people, right? So there's the one that I saw, right, just sitting back watching, and there's the one who's has a hand raised, but is also like talking to their friend, like, yeah, you know, like just whispering, like just having a conversation, like just like they're waiting in line at a store or something, but he has his hand raised as if he's engaged or something. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm saying, no. Don't go on with your friend having a conversation with, like, as if you're doing something with this hand. Just let it rest. But I also saw, just like three rows over, a man, probably in his 40s, who was sitting there in his lawn chair, not at all trying to draw attention to himself. And the song was just singing about how God saves sinners. And that man was just so passionately, so excited about that reality with his hand straight up in the air. And I said, amen, that is so good. Bless the Lord. And that means praise the Lord. And how are we to do it? One way that we can, Psalm 134 says, lift your hands in the holy place. One observation I have. The psalmist invites other saints to come and to bless the Lord with him. He says, come. That's the very first word. He says, come, bless the Lord. I want to join the psalmist in doing this, inviting others to do that with me. I want to go and find people and say, would you come with me and bless the Lord? And so I will ask you, will you? Will you encourage others to come to church to sing praises to him? And if you will, then who could you invite? Who could you invite to come and to bless the Lord? Maybe you're thinking of people who really need to meet God, who really need to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. I would encourage you, go tell them, come, come. But not only them, I would say, also think of saints, Christians, that are not coming to the gathering right now. And they have no legitimate reason not to. You know, there's individuals who have COVID concerns, and that's fine. But if they're just sitting at home because they like their lazy boy, I'd encourage you to fulfill Psalm 134, and you go to them and you say, come, bless the Lord with me, because that's where you need to be. I'd encourage you to do that. I think that's what we're all called to do. So that's man's blessing to God. Let's wrap up with verse 3, God's blessing to man. I want us to notice two things about this. Firstly, this blessing that God gives is not a guaranteed universal reality for all people. You see, it says, may the Lord bless you from Zion, he who's made heaven and earth. So notice this, he's not just saying God is just going to pour out his blessing on every single person, everywhere, universally, doesn't matter. It says, may the Lord do that. May the Lord do that. So David is speaking this blessing on those who, what? Serve the Lord. You can tie the you there. May the Lord bless you all the way throughout the whole psalm. He's talking to those who are serving the Lord, who have their faith in God. For them, God will pour out his blessing eternally. It says, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands. Whose hands? Those who serve the Lord. And verse 3 goes to them, may the Lord bless you eternally. Those who do not bless the Lord, giving him his praise, will neither find his blessing at the end of their life. Let's not give false assurance to people who are completely in rebellion to God. Just say, oh yeah, you're fine. You're fine at the end of this life. God is going to, he's going to give you a blessing because he's a loving God. Let's not give false assurance to people Those who do not bless the Lord with his praise will neither receive the Lord's eternal blessing at the end of their life. But those who do serve the Lord, who do fear God, who do love God, verse 3 is for them and for you. May the Lord bless you. And those who God blesses can expect incredible blessings. Truly incredible blessings. How can we know that? Well, it's coming from him who has made heaven and earth. Who could give a greater blessing than him who has created all things? There is nothing that he can't give. It's all at his disposal. He is all capable. He is who made heaven and earth. And he is the one who blesses you. Wow. That just speaks to how great of a blessing he is able to give. So in what ways does God choose to bless his people? Well, there are blessings that God gives to those who aren't his people, those who don't serve the Lord. This is called common grace, right? Temporary blessings in this life. He would give relationships to you and I as a blessing. He would give us life experiences. These are blessings that he gives commonly to all people. Life lessons. He gives us closed doors as a blessing. Might not feel like a blessing. Even things that we have, tangible things, are blessings from God. And you might say, whoa, don't get into prosperity preaching. I'm not, but I'm also saying that I don't deserve a house over my head, but I have one. What a blessing from God. I don't deserve a car to get to work, but God has given me one. What a blessing from God. We can't be scared to admit the things that we have in this life, tangible things, they are simply blessings from God. But we also must know that these things are not guaranteed for us to keep. Think about Job's life. He had things and he lost all of them. God blesses us, common grace to all people. He gives blessings to people, tangible things in this life, and these are not a guarantee for us. In fact, it's guaranteed that they will not last. But they are things that collect rust. He does, though, give special grace or special blessings for his people. That would be internal blessings. That's forgiveness. Forgiveness. For the evil person that I am. He gives us separation from suffering and guilt and shame and remorse and sadness and discouragement. He gives that to those who serve and love him, that would put their faith in him. That is not common grace, to have eternal promises of being separated from suffering and guilt. That is special for those who put their faith in God. And the greatest of all is the blessing of himself. He gives us himself for all of eternity. And again, this is to those who would put their faith in him. This is not common grace for all people. So as we're wrapping up here, I have two desires for you, two desires for myself. May you and I be the people who, firstly, bless the Lord with our lives. Would you be a person that strives to bless the Lord every chance you get, in word and in deed, not just lip service, that's part of it, just speaking praises to his name, but so much more than that with your life. Would you bless the Lord? But would you also be a person who receives the Lord's eternal blessings? This is not dependent on your works. This is dependent on faith. Recognizing who he is and who we are, that we would kneel before him and give him the praise that he deserves. And doing that, we would receive the Lord's blessings for eternity. How great that will be one day. Amen? Wow. That being said, let me pray, and we are going to do that very thing, to praise the Lord. And let me encourage you, maybe you haven't ever lifted your hands in worship, and tonight might not be the night. But let it not be because you think that it's wrong if you don't. Because it is not wrong to celebrate and let those hands lift up in celebration to God. Would we bless the Lord with our praises. God, I thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for these people. I pray, Lord, that you would be blessed by us tonight. And by that I mean, would you receive our praises? Would you receive our adoration? Would you see us metaphorically kneeling in reverence to who you are? And possibly even lifting our hands in celebration of the gospel you give us. Would you be blessed? And may we, Lord, eternally be blessed by the greatest giver of blessings, that is he who has made heaven and earth. We thank you so much for it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.